From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
The edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast, Chase Parham, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio. Today we'll be joined by Mississippi State beat writer for the Clarion Ledger, Will Salmon, New York native, now living in Starkville. We'll discuss condiments with him, maybe some Leo Lewis stuff, the scenic trip he has upcoming to Ruston, Louisiana, and more. So we'll talk to Will here in a little bit as he was in the room yesterday when Dan Mullen commented on Leo Lewis's status for Monday's COI meeting in Covington, Kentucky, as everyone is aware of by now. So that and more today on the podcast. The podcast is every day brought to you by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Go get a daiquiri. You got sizes anywhere from 16 ounces, 20 ounces, all the way up to 44 ounces if you really are in the mood for some daiquiri. Here lately, they've doubled sales. We take full and ultimate credit for that. We appreciate all you guys for joining the daiquiri craze there with the Oxford Exxon. Also go to the Oxford Crystal where you get the hand spun shakes and more at the Oxford Crystal. Spicy Chick now in your 5 for 5. They've got a good chicken biscuit in the morning and more. So head over there, Highway 6 West. And again, need a car to do it. So check out the Clark Ford Studio.
Before I tell you about Clark Ford, can you imagine what it's going to be like when they get orange?
If you think it's a lot now.
Oh my God, it's going to be like quadruple sales. Ben Craddock's going to come on and easily come on our podcast and say, everyone, peacefully form a line. We're going to take care of you, but we're only human. Because when you trade out the orange mango for the orange, it's going to be crazy. Brought to you at Clark Ford Studios, Clark Ford's in Amory, 662-257-1900. ClarkFordInc.com. Call the number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He will send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. No hassle. Great service after the sale. All of that. You can get your quote. You can shop it around if you'd like. Look, just let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for listeners of our podcast from Cape Girardeau to Biloxi, from Dallas to Atlanta, and that's all over the Southeast. Take the hassle out of the car buying experience. And at the end of the deal, tell Corey you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention this one. You can mention the Beer Garden. You can even mention Russell's podcast, which will be taped for the very first time tomorrow if everything goes according to plan. So you can mention any of those. $500 off the bottom line from your deal at Clark Ford in Amory.
Advertising has never worked more because I want pecans even before we talk about pecans as we looked at the website the other day. So
I know. They look good.
They did.
I'm getting some samples.
Amaretto pecans.
I'm getting some samples.
Grand Marnier pecans.
I know.
Yeah. A lot of stuff there.
A lot of stuff.
What?
Nothing.
You all right?
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate our listeners. We missed one very important alumnus of Clarion College as we spent a few minutes yesterday making fun of Clarion University in Pennsylvania.
Did?
One Mr. Jonathan Calipari.
Really? Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Played point guard for Clarion after he transferred from Wilmington or somewhere.
I'll be damned.
Led Clarion in assist and free throw percentage during his career.
In Clarion. How about that?
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, again, we'll get to Will here in a little bit. Coverage up at RebelGrove.com. We've got a Bradley Del Pivito interview from yesterday. He talks linebackers and more. Dante Evans, the return of Dietrich Bean Dukes, and more with him yesterday. I still am having a hard time not calling him Dante Archer because he's from Archer High School, and I'm kind of stupid and maybe a little dyslexic at times. So
okay.
I still have a really hard time with that. Dante Evans from Archer High School is one
I've
of
never
the
had that problem.
Really?
No.
You've had a lot of other problems, but you've never had that problem.
I mean, I have lots of issues. That's not one.
I see a lot of talk as yesterday the head PR guru for the NCAA, Emily something, came
Emily
on.
James.
Is that her name?
Yep.
Emily James.
Pretty sure.
Okay. So she tweets yesterday, I'll pull it up.
Of the famous James clan.
of the House of James.
Mm-hmm. Jesse James. Jesse James is great.
She says, there's been lots of talk about the limited immunity. Did you know that if the COI chair has a conflict, the vice chair reviews the request, and then she screenshots a picture from the very fair and brief NCAA rule book. It says, request and review pursuant to something, something, who cares. The chair considers requests from the enforcement staff of the COI to grant limited immunity. If the chair is unable to review the request due to recusal or other conflict, the vice chair or other designee on the COI may review the request. The enforcement staff presents a memorandum request, which details the general circumstances surrounding the request. I'd really love to have that memorandum. The chair may either grant or deny the request.
Wouldn't you love to have that? Yeah.
Yeah. If the chair grants the request, the enforcement staff has provided a memorandum which constitutes the sole and complete expression of the grant of limited immunity. If the chair rejects the request, the enforcement staff is provided with a written denial. The fun part is the end. Effective 2/19/2016, February 19th of last year. And it was adopted 3/21/2016. I'm sure it was just a coincidence. Just happened to be in that month.
What the hell are you implying?
Saying they saw an improvement to their process. And they took it. That's it.
It was merely a convenience and a coincidence that it happened the way that it happened. I'm going to tell you, man. I'm going to be honest. Everybody at Ole Miss is about to get mad at me. You know, sometimes you watch a game and you go, you know, the fix is in. You see something and you go, this doesn't feel right. Something about this doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
You and I had some pretty good sourcing back in early January that said where this thing was headed. We had a lot of people ridicule us. And frankly, I wanted to be wrong.
They told us that was not how the process worked.
That was not how the process works. And in fairness to them, it might be the way that the process has never worked before. I'm not betting against the predictions we're given in January right now. This feels like it's on a crash course for a predetermined ending. Do you agree or disagree? I mean, let's have this conversation. Don't get on your computer. Don't get on a different conversation. Let's have this conversation. Does this feel to you like you're starting to think the fix is in, for lack of a better term?
I think the fix was in by the enforcement staff.
Okay.
Now, past that, there's more gray area here. There's more to this. Just on the scope, I can't go, Eleanor Myers, who is the person that granted this limited immunity. I was going there next, but it fills into the conversation. So,
okay.
Greg Sankey was the head of the COI. He has to recuse himself because conflict, obviously, SEC, whatever.
Right.
So, Greg Christopher is the hearing chief and the dude that's going to direct the conversation. But the vice chair is Eleanor Myers, a Temple law professor, has been an NCAA COI member for a while. I think she might have even been maybe on the USC case when it happened or a couple other ones from back in the day. Just now kind of started researching her. She's the person that said, yeah, let's do the limited immunity for Leo Lewis. Let's go, enforcement staff. Here's your memorandum, and here we go. I don't have enough information to say that she is part of collusion, that she is part of a predetermined outcome. If you want to make me guess, I'd say she's quite the true believer. Just a guess.
Okay.
Don't know Miss Myers. I actually misspelled her name in a tweet. I apologize. It's M-Y-E-R-S, not M-E-Y-E-R-S.
She'll get over it.
It'll be all right.
If it's bad, if this thing ends badly, we'll know where the blame is.
It's all on me, that tweet.
Anthony Parham's tweet.
Yes. So I think one side of it certainly had a predetermined outcome. That's what we were talking about. Now, look, does the NCAA, we've said this a thousand times, but it bears repeating, does the enforcement staff suggest penalties? No, they do not whatsoever. However, they understand the matrix. They know where they got to get to an outcome that they are hoping to achieve. And that's what happened here, in my opinion. That's what we were told in January. There's been nothing since January to pull me off this opinion whatsoever in the last 8 or 9 months. They put forth allegations that, if convicted, would fit what they were hoping to accomplish, in my opinion. How the COI fits into this, how Greg Christopher, who A lot of sources from a lot of different areas say he's pissed off at everybody right now. How Eleanor Myers fits into this, who approved the limited immunity. How Christopher fills into this because he was requiring Leo Lewis to be here and not do a Skype or not do a written questionnaire or anything else.
Yeah.
How they fit into this, I don't know. No one knows for sure, and it's why anyone that says, hey, this is what is going to happen, is completely and utterly full of crap. Your floor.
I generally agree. If I'm Ole Miss, I'm not feeling great about how sensitive the NCAA is right now. It's not a coincidence she put that tweet out yesterday. David Brandt writes a story. Some people have said things. Godfrey wrote his stories.
They put out their puff piece on being guardians of the game.
They're really triggered right now. I mean, their panties are just bunched up. They're not comfortable. How dare you criticize the process? How dare you criticize what we do? God, I mean, I think Emily James and those people would have a nervous breakdown if they heard me say, I think all these kids get paid. You come down here and the handlers, and all of a sudden the uncle and the great and the aunt and all these people are around, they want, hey, it's payday. I mean, look no further than Ole Miss. They're accusing Ole Miss of being the great cheaters. And look, I do think Ole Miss bought football players. There, I do. Ole Miss lost a lot of recruiting battles the last few years. You want to believe that one of those kids decided, you know what, Ole Miss is offering me money, but it's not where I want to go. I'm going to go to fill in the blank for free. You want to tell me that one of them did it? Okay. Two of them, maybe. 30? Uh-uh. No. You got Leo Lewis on the record saying Mississippi State paid him. You got his mom on the record talking crazy money.
Illogical money.
Of course. I mean.
Nobody paid anybody $650.
She sounds like an idiot. And the dad's in prison. Sorry if I'm Mississippi State Twitter, if I'm beating up the kid. I know he's a great student athlete, blah, blah, blah. There. He's wonderful. He's got great character. I've never seen anything like it. Except for the fact that for 2 years, everyone talked about him being on the take, which is why Hugh Freeze and them should have been fired in the first place. I mean, the thing just goes, it's a stupid story. The NCAA looks stupid. The whole thing, it just they're upset. I'd love to know whether Greg Christopher's really upset. We hear that from people, but I'd like to know if it's true.
I think he's upset at least. I mean, I put myself in his shoes. Empathy is not really the right word, but whatever.
I'd be pissed.
Yes, I'm saying that I'm in this situation because here's where I get put into. I've got to follow this law. I've got to do stuff because all you people are crazy. And then what happens is if when I make this decision, one side or the other is going to be, well, I guess the other side wouldn't appeal, but there could be an appeal that puts me in a bad light here based off me in a no-win situation that all you idiots caused. So there's no win for Greg Christopher. He's a dude that's just trying to be a public servant. He was at Bowling Green when he first got on this committee. Now he's at Xavier. You would think when he was at Bowling Green, he could have fixed the whole not having green in his color scheme that Neil's upset about. But nonetheless, he goes to Xavier later on. He's just trying to kind of be this good dude, probably. And this is what gets thrown in his lap. Not the Radford tennis stuff. Not the Hofstra rowing issues with the NCAA. This thing. Where everybody's overreaching, everybody's cheating, everybody's doing all sorts of stuff, and now he's the dude that in one room has got to review things, keep both sides situated, and try to sort this thing out. I'd be really pissed. So.
Yeah, no, I would be too.
I'd be sending really ugly memos to everybody every day.
I mean, and you've got a whole bunch of really good attorneys involved in this case that are going to be in there. But I'm not convinced because of this precious process that those attorneys get to say anything. Here's what's interesting with Leo Lewis when he sits in that COI, right? Listen up. Make sure I'm right.
I'm listening. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When he sits there and they say to him, if they say to him, so you took money from Mississippi State, when his attorney says, hey, look, we're here about the Ole Miss case. We're not here about anything else. If I'm the COI, my response to that is, look, this isn't a court. There's no fifth for you to take. I want to know, did you take money from, who did you take money from? Take me through this. You've got immunity, so tell me the truth. So that I can decide whether this is really the ledge that I want to stand on.
You have no idea the answer to this. I'm admitting that. Do they ask real questions, or do they ask him just to confirm the two or three things they need him to confirm?
Well, if they ask him, if it's a rubber stamp, this thing, I know where this thing's going, and it's bad.
Appeals and suits and all sorts of stuff.
Yes. You can appeal whatever. You're not going to get by the time you get relief, the damage is done.
Yeah. And good luck getting any lawsuit to go through anything with NCAA. Jackie Sherrill's still waiting.
And just FYI for the people that are listening to this, I'm not a true believer. I think college athletics are quickly devolving into a total joke. As witnessed by the fact that they're going to talk about letting kids transfer without penalty now? Just in general? We're going to have that conversation?
It appears from looking at a bio that Eleanor Myers is an expert in legal ethics, by the way, Neil.
Legal ethics?
Uh-huh. Okay. She regularly presents at continuing legal education programs on legal ethics and is often consulted by the press on ethics-related issues. Just a little FYI there on the chair. So Sankey was chair. Eleanor Myers was co-chair. Greg Christopher is the overseer. Sankey recused himself, and now Myers is making that decision that a chair would normally make. That's where we are from a procedural standpoint.
You think I'm being too harsh?
Too harsh?
Yeah. You think I'm being too harsh against the enforcement staff, against what the way this looks like it's going?
Well, no, the dates were stupid. Is there a reason for it? Maybe. If so, I'd love to know it. Somebody tell me. But that's the problem with this NCAA PR stuff. They throw this stuff out, and if you'd like an answer to one of your questions, oh, sorry. Nah, I can't comment anymore. Done. You know what I mean? Like, it's the whole thing you were talking about a couple weeks ago. There's this veil over all of it. There's no transparency. There's nothing for them to be such true believers and guardians of the game and people to... I really like the Guardians of the Game thing. It's one of my favorites.
It is good.
For all these things to be the case, it's all kind of done in underground society work a little bit, isn't it? Not a lot of transparency here. Everything's secret. We're great, and trust us when we tell you we're great. We're fair because, trust us, we'll tell you we're fair.
Mm-hmm.
Can I see? No. Closed. But trust us. Trust us, please.
Yeah, we're guardians.
Guardian, we are taking care of you.
We are guardians. We are in a warehouse, basically. We Spartan decorations, just a pennant or two. We are protecting the game you love, and as it gets bigger and bigger, we have to be more protective, or else. Really, they're heroes.
That's the word that comes to mind.
They're heroes.
You like hero more than freedom fighter?
Well, they're freedom fighter. They are fighting for the freedom. If you want to get to the truth, don't you have to let the kids get cross-examined?
Well, that's not going to happen.
So then you're not getting to the truth.
It's like when they each representative or whatever gets 15 minutes on Monday. Tuesday, whenever these things happening. I'm assuming the open statements will be on Monday. They each get 15 minutes to talk about their specific part of the case. However, they can't go into specifics. Everything has to be a general overlay. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, even those rules are stupid. I mean, it's... You can't give any new information. You can only talk about the way I understood it when reading it last night. The COI only considers anything that was submitted at least 10 days in advance, and the responses and the allegations and the overall response from those documents that were finally given publicly within the last month. That's what they do. And then they'll go through allegation number one. You agree, where do we disagree? All right, here, let's talk about it. Allegation number two, on and on and on and on, all the way through whatever the end one is. So Anyway, podcast brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. MasterCuts, full-service lawn maintenance and landscape company. Serving Oxford, Tupelo, surrounding areas. Also, all of North Mississippi for skeeter beaters, the mosquito extermination service they have. Applications starting as low as $50-$60. Takes three or four, I'm sorry, they'll be gone for 3 to 5 weeks per application. So check them out. Also, you get a free quote at 662-607-7773, mastercutslawn.com. And when you sign an annual contract, you mention the podcast, first cut is free.
We're brought to you by Vitamind, Hydration Therapy, the new address, 3010 Old Taylor Road. It's in front of the Faulkner Flats Apartments next door to Lapel's Dry Cleaning. Lapel's is like, hey, we're kind of liking this new ad. Still the same IVs and the shots as before, but they've added cryosauna, which is great for removing inflammation, toxins, speeds up recovery from a workout, burns calories, speeds up metabolism. It gets as cold as -220 in there, which I suspect is about as cold as my Twitter feed's going to be. The entire process is 2 minutes. You can do the infrared sauna, removes toxins, detox. It's not like your typical dry sauna that gets as high as 200 degrees. This one gets to 130 to 140, so you can stay in longer. 638-3600. They're open Tuesday through Sunday. IV and shots are Friday through Sunday for now. So call ahead. Make sure they have someone staffed. It's info@vitamend.com is the email. And again, 638-3600. Podcast also sponsored by State Farm agent Romero Miller, the former Ole Miss quarterback, longtime contributor to RebelGrove.com, can write insurance for you throughout the states of Mississippi and Tennessee. Contact Romero at RomeroMiller.com or on Facebook at Romero Miller State Farm or by email at Romero@RomeroMiller.com. Romero Miller State Farm is located at 7164 Hacks Cross Road, Suite 119 in Olive Branch. The phone number, 662-893-1212. The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. Currently, Ben Brown and his team are looking to hire part-time and full-time sales team members across Texas and the Southeast to join their team. They offer extensive training, support, and the best products and pricing in the industry. Whether you're looking to supplement your current income or find a better career opportunity, email Ben at benbrown@journeybizsolutions.com. They're looking for motivated individuals with some sales experience, a business degree, or those who are close to completing their business degree who have a passion to serve small business owners. They have an exceptional uncapped commission structure and are an equal opportunity employer. Email Ben today. And the podcast brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than Harry. It's harryalexander.com. Sites updated daily so you can filter through by what you're looking for, and the results that you get are the results that are actually on the market. And then send him an email. It's ha@harryalexander.com.
Whew. Well, as we move on a little bit with the show today, you all right? Oh, never mind. I know what you're doing.
Oh, God.
You all right?
Oh, yeah.
You want me to move on?
Yeah, we can't talk about that. I mean, for those of you that don't have ESPN 9 at home, Chase sent me a text on a topic that he and I have been discussing.
It can't be discussed on the internet.
And it can't be discussed on the internet. And I'm reading through that. He says, you all right? You want to move on? Yeah. I don't know what choice we have.
All right. Freedom Finding Part 2 for the day.
Oh, good. There's more.
Well, the what's this thing called?
Ross Bjork's hating us right now. Mostly me.
Nah.
You don't think?
Nah.
Okay.
The NCAA Transfer Working Group, whatever the hell that is, it got designed to streamline a bunch of rules and processes and make, you know, just really, really execute some brevity in that NCAA rule book. And one of the things that they are floating around that say they're getting some traction to is the possibility of allowing students with at least a minimum GPA of something, I don't know what that minimum GPA is, to transfer, as Neil alluded to a minute ago, to other schools without sitting out, without penalty, and going immediately on scholarship and playing that prospective sport. It would be for all sports in the NCAA. It wouldn't just be for football, basketball, baseball, crew, whatever. Also, parts of this is it would allow less restriction on how they were approached by other schools. It no longer is a thing where you would have to get clearance in the same way you do now. And I'm trying to be a little vague here because I don't understand the exact way that it's being implemented or being hoped to be implemented. And we'll get into it more specifically if it actually does follow suit and get approved. They're trying to push it through for the 2018-2019 year, best I can tell, if it gets sent. What it will do, in my opinion, is it will mean recruiting will never, ever, ever stop. If you think basketball right now has a transfer epidemic, try where they don't have to sit out.
Yeah, I mean, basketball, it has a lot of grad transfer stuff, and kids transfer and sit. Like Malik Newman, a high-profile five-star kid,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It didn't work out at Mississippi State. He transferred to Kansas, but he sat a year, Chase. Most kids don't want to sit a year, and that limits the transferring. You remember when you're 20? A year when you're 20 feels like 8,000 decades. You're going to let kids transfer immediately? The recruiting process will never stop.
The lead, I'm reading from 24/7 Sports here. In a potentially paradigm-shifting proposal, the NCAA members may vote to allow all Division I transfers to be eligible to play immediately. The only potential restrictions are that student-athletes would be asked to meet a minimum GPA in order to transfer immediately, and that any additional transfer would require the student-athletes to sit out a full year. The proposal, which is being solicited among members for feedback, is gaining increased traction in recent weeks, a source confirms. So that's the lead there. Again, some other minutiae to it, but you would be worried about your players 365 days a year. Backroom stuff.
Well,
what Ole Miss is dealing with right now from a possible probation situation and other people trying to poach their players, it's what every school in the country would be doing constantly. They would have to protect their kids while also trying to take kids from other programs. Because what everybody be doing?
The other thing you would have.
Kent State has a running back that shows up and is All-American as a sophomore. Dude's at Alabama as a junior.
Yeah. They're recruiting constantly.
Ole Miss needs a quarterback. They go take Hawaii's.
Well, a kid comes to, let's say a kid signs with Auburn.
Okay.
Goes to Auburn in the first year. I'll tell you, the Adams kid, remember the big defensive lineman? The first year didn't go so well?
Montrevious, yeah.
Didn't his first year kind of was disappointing?
For him? Or was it, the other kid?
There was another kid there. At Alabama, it was Deshaun Hand. The first year didn't go great.
Number one player in the country.
What if he goes, hey, you know what, man, it just didn't work out. I'm going to transfer. I'm going to go ahead and go to Texas. I'll just go next year.
And he could.
Now, I can hear people right now saying, well, coaches can transfer. It's fair. I'm just telling you, this is not a great idea.
Usually for the kid.
And I am for the kid transferring. That's what the red shirt year's for. I don't even have a problem with you can transfer, you have to sit out a year, but we'll halt your clock. We'll put a delay on your clock.
Okay.
You have to sit a year, you can go on scholarship, and we'll hit the pause button on your clock. But just wild, wild west, I think this is the disconnect. This is where Emily James and I probably wouldn't have a very pleasant dinner. She would say that would never happen. No one would recruit other kids from different schools. They would go through the proper channels. They would call the athletics director and ask for permission. If a young man, say from Appalachian State, was interested in transferring to Ole Miss, for example, what he would say is, Coach, I'd like to transfer to Ole Miss.
Can you set up a meeting with Matt Luke and Ross Bjork for us to discuss this possibility?
Would it be okay if I sent them a letter of interest? And in her eyes, the coach would then say, well, sure, John. That sounds great. Have you tried Big Bad Breakfast? And then that athletics director would contact Ross Bjork and say, Ross, we have a running back who would really love to transfer to Mississippi. And then Ross would say, well, have him send me a letter. And then the young man would send him a letter. Dear Mr. Bjork, please consider this a formal letter of interest in the position of running back at the University of Mississippi. And they would go, and I would be across the table throwing things at Emily. Going, this not how it's going to work, hon. You don't get it. You think you have booster.
Was it the fake name at Rebel Rags Emily?
I think it was.
Okay.
You think we're going to have. You just don't get it. It will never stop. The recruiting will never stop. And because the coaches can't do the recruiting, the boosters will do the recruiting. You'll have kids, and I know Leo's like, yeah, I like this. You'll have kids at schools going, yeah, man, I'm looking to transfer. I'll take your $2,000 up front here and your $2,000 up front here. I'm gonna add them. I'm getting a raise.
You're kind of cynical.
I mean, what works at Slippery Rock won't work at Tennessee.
That's the problem. The same rule book that governs, don't know why I always go here, Hofstra tennis governs SEC football. Come on. Come on. Break away. Gain more autonomy.
It's time for the Power Five to break away.
Do your own thing.
Form new rules. Get away from the Olympic model and get real. It's time to get real. It's past time to get real.
Figure out some hybrid between what you have now and the way NHL does hockey or something. Somewhere in the middle. Figure it out. I don't know what it looks like. Not my job. But do that. They've got a system. It works. Kids get drafted and still play college hockey. I don't know. Whatever. Figure it out. And I'm not saying do that, but
I'm not for a draft. I want kids to have the ability to go where they want to go. It's just time. This is my problem.
Well, no, that's a pro thing. They still go to whatever college they want, but they can get.
Okay, yeah, that's what you're saying. I just think there's a disconnect. And I make fun of these people, and I'm sure these people are good people. I don't doubt for a minute that Mike Sheridan and people like that actually believe they are guardians of the game. But I think they're delusional. I think they think, oh, this doesn't happen everywhere. Come on, man. Common sense. Common sense, man. It's also a refusal to accept that not every area of the country is the same.
I've said plenty for my actual opinion. Just curious, though. Just throwing this out here before we move on. We're going to talk to Will in a second. Is it possible that they know what happens everywhere? They can't prove it. At the end of the day, they're people. They get emotions involved. And when they can prove one, they're trying to put a positive on their side so they get more money, raises, and just keep feeding their dang family.
Sure. It's also possible that what started as an agendaless investigation got personal.
Because it's people.
Because someone was dumb enough to basically threaten them and then throw some Bible verses at them.
Hypothetically, of course.
Pure hypothetical. It's also possible that when you see that text, hypothetically, you think, well, holy hell. That's cheating.
Put this on the board this morning, too. We're going to move on a second. Everybody gets caught up on the $10,000, the one payment. The allegation has multiple payments here. So they have to be able to argue all of those, or it remains a level one, in my opinion. I mean, $10,000, $2,000, $1,500, it's all level one. I mean, it's salacious if it's $10,000 and it's more whatever, but you got to get the whole thing thrown out. We spend so much time arguing about this one incident when that's not really the whole scope of what that allegation is.
Yeah, it's why I've said all along on the Rebel Rags thing, you can throw Rebel Rags out. You still have major problems. You can throw Leo Lewis's testimony out. They're not going to, but you could.
They throw out the testimony. It helps. Doesn't solve. It helps.
Right.
And it really helps Terry Warren and Lee Harris.
Yes.
That's what it does.
Yes. Where you have allegations that basically can't be proven. Can you prove that Leo Lewis got stuff from Rebel Rags? No. Can you prove that Leo Lewis got stuff from Ole Miss boosters at Funky's? No. Can't. Can't prove it. You can suspect it if you want. Because here's reality. At all of these places, this is one of the problems with the publicities where the schools have, where compliance is begging people, don't mess with these kids on these visits. Please. The kids, let's say with Shea Patterson, for example, when he was a recruit, okay? He's a big five-star quarterback. He's on an official visit in all the sites and newspapers, and not just the, quote, fan sites, ladies and gentlemen. Newspapers and everybody else are hyping these visits. Well, you see Shea Patterson, you're a fan. Maybe you're a college student. You see Shea Patterson walk into the bar. You buy him a drink. You buy him a sandwich. You want to pick up his tab, right? Well, you can't. But you can't police all that. That happens everywhere.
Great game Saturday. Here's hey, walk over to the waitress.
Recruit. Yeah.
Hey, Patterson's table's over there. Here's a card.
Yeah,
take
got
care
it.
Of that for me.
When you take them their check, let their check be zero because I got it.
Yeah.
That happens. Did that happen to Leo Lewis? Certainly possible. Do I think Lee Harris himself walked over there and handled it? I don't. Did Leo Lewis get free stuff at Funky's? It's certainly possible. Can you prove it? Doesn't appear so. What can you prove? Well, you can prove that Booster 14 sent a text to Barney Farrar that was intended for Leo eventually that is damning. You can prove it. It's right there. You can read the words.
Yeah.
And I know there's one media outlet out there that – not outlet, forgive me. One reporter out there who's trying to come up with a explanation for that text that is ludicrous. It's laughable. But, I mean, you know, if you're dumb enough, you can believe anything. It's that's a problem.
Yeah. Those are our thoughts on that as we move forward. Talk to Will Salmon in a second. He was in the room.
Oh, yeah,
Dan
I forgot
Mullen
about that.
Commented yesterday. Podcast brought to you by Tyson Drugs, parent company of Right Way Meds. I've told you about for months, but Tyson Drugs, tell you about Sildenafil. It's an alternative to the little blue pill. It's $10 instead of $50 or $60. Same length of effectiveness and gets you ready in as little as 15 minutes. So check it out
at
TysonDrugs.com. Just increases blood flow.
Oh. You
know, that's what it does. Sildenafil, you can order it straight online. You can also request it straight online. You can also call them at 662-252-2321. Give them your pharmacist's name. They'll get the prescription. I'm sorry, give them the doctor's name. They'll get it going for you. They'll even deliver it if you are not local. So TysonDrugs.com and ask for Sildenafil, 662-252-2321.
I'm like a 10-year-old. Podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys, more than 60 years of combined experience, more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Superlawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state. So you know when you get Robert Gambrell, you're getting one of the best. Gambrell & Associates handles Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700 or Oxford, 662-281-8800. The podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. It's another tailgating weekend coming up at Ole Miss. UT Martin rolling into town. 7 South, owned and operated by Kyle and Jordan Thornton. They're equipped with the largest staff in the Grove, can service most any of your tailgating needs. They offer SEC-only packages, full-season packages, rental packages, game day concierge, complete setup, post-game trash removal, equipment breakdown, year-round storage, and more. If you give 7 South a try for one season, you'll never tailgate without them again. They typically sell out, so get in contact with them, 662-321-1682 or 7southtailgating.com. Podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. It's an American standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. You get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their site, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast. You get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane, 662-832-8749.
Now, Will Salmon, Clary Ledger, beat writer for Mississippi State on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline.
All right, Will, thank you for joining the podcast. I'm guessing we've never had this conversation. Where are you from, Will?
I'm from Queens, New York.
So this is going to be an incredible week for you. I mean, I can only imagine, because, you know, a lot of times people look forward to going to New York and whatnot. New York's nice. I mean, there's some buildings and stuff. But people, it's a bucket list thing to go spend a weekend in Ruston. And you're going to get to do that this weekend. First of all, congratulations. Second of all, let me pace yourself. Take your time. You're not going to see everything in 1 hour. Driver, just be careful. It's busy. There's a lot of tourists. Don't hit lunch at the lunch hour. Give yourself a little time. Ruston is you're not going to want to leave on Sunday. It's spectacular.
You know, Neil, funny story about that. So Neil Price is the new play-by-play guy, right, for MSU football.
Yeah.
And so I asked him just how did your first day go or whatever, you know, doing the opener. And he said, good, you know. I get to go to Ruston, so that's good. So I think that may have been one of the first times I've ever heard somebody say, I get to go to Ruston. So he's excited about it, and I'm excited about it too, man. I can't wait to see it. I know it's the hometown of some really noble folks.
Yeah,
so
it is.
I'm excited about it.
It is. Listen, a little pro tip here. If you can get to the top of Wiley Tower on a clear day, you can see almost all the way to Grambling. It is incredible. You will see the tops of some beautiful pine trees, and you'll just – just take it in. It'll be almost like, really, it'll be better than being at the top of the Empire State Building. You'll see some just fantastic stuff. God, it's beautiful. You can see almost all the way to Shudrant from up there.
All the way to what?
Shudrant.
Okay.
all right, let's get to we're going to get to Mississippi State football in a second, because I know they played
Charleston Southern,
and they won handedly, and it looked like they looked good, and they get the Tech game with a kind of a low line, 7.5 points. We'll get to that in a second. Dan Mullen addressed the Leo Lewis thing to a degree yesterday. Can you kind of give us some context as to how the question was asked and what he said regarding Lewis and the COI in Covington, Kentucky, Monday?
Sure. You know, I've spoke to Dan about the Leo Lewis situation and really – the NCAA situation as a whole for Ole Miss a couple of times, just him and I talking at SEC Media Days. If you recall, David Branch from the Associated Press and I spoke to Dan about it, and he wasn't going to be too forthcoming with answers, of course, but he did offer some useful information, such as the fact that he anticipated Kobe Jones and Leo Lewis playing every game that day when he said that in July. And that was needed, I think, because there were a lot of rumors circulating whether or not those two guys would be playing every game or if they were subject to any penalty or anything like that. There was a lot of speculation and rumors being thrown around out there, so that was good for him to go on the record. But, you know, as far as press conferences go, I kind of held off with asking about Leo Lewis to a degree just because, you know, I'm there all the time, or I'm here all the time, I should say, so I have a good feel for what's going on, and I really don't need too many things answered in that sort of setting. But I asked him about it during his most recent press conference on Monday because I was curious about the logistics involved, because every indication that I've received said that Leo Lewis will be at Ole Miss's COI hearing on September 11th, and that's right after the La Tech game, and that's during the week of the LSU game. And, of course, the LSU game is pretty important for MSU. That's one of their biggest games, of course, obviously. So my question just was about the logistics. Okay, this guy's going to make a pit stop to Kentucky while you guys are preparing for LSU. How does that impact you guys? How much does that disturb your preparation? And so that's really the context to it. I asked because really this was the only opportunity I will get to ask before Monday, aside from after the game. And that's not really a topic I want to bring up because I wouldn't be expecting too good of an answer. And lo and behold, of course, he didn't give too much of an answer anyway. Didn't really want to talk about it too much. He did say that it won't affect them. I'm sure if he's there for more than a day, it will. It's their best linebacker, arguably their best player, if not their second best player on defense. So if he's not there for preparation, I would think that impacts them somewhat. He said it doesn't, but hey, I'm not the coach. And then secondly, you know, I just asked about the fact, since he didn't want to give too much about that, I was just genuinely curious about what he thought of really the backlash that Leo receives on social media from different portions of the state. Obviously, Ole Miss fans are not too fond of him these days. So I asked about that, and he gave a pretty detailed response to that and really just spoke up Leo Lewis's character.
Did he leave any I haven't seen the direct quote, Will, but, I mean, are you pretty set, at least in what you've heard, that he's going to show, or is there room for interpretation as far as his presence on Monday?
Well, Dan Mullen won't say one way or the other, and he refuses to comment on anything regarding Ole Miss and that investigation or any way that it impacts MSU. He just does not – he will not answer that question. And I understand, but from what I've heard from other sources close to Leo Lewis, unless something changes between now and Sunday, I fully anticipate him attending that hearing and cooperating and doing what he's asked, because obviously his immunity depends on that. His immunity depends on cooperation and honesty. So I would be completely shocked if he were to not show, considering the NCAA has requested his presence.
Yeah, it's he's in such a weird spot, too, because here's one of the questions that I don't even know the answer to at all. The answers, let's say he goes and he's asked questions that are more than just, hey, here's your testimony. Let's say it's not a rubber stamp, that they're actually quizzing him to some degree about some of the inconsistencies that are out there. Are the answers that he gives at the COI, will those be available to attorneys at if the civil suit continues on? In other words, will he be grilled, if you will, in a civil situation based on inconsistencies in answers that he gave at the COI and perhaps in previous interviews?
I don't know for sure, but I would think so. I mean, if you're on record saying something, I'm sure it's something. I'm sure this is going to get out one way or the other after this is all wrapped up, this hearing. It will be leaked somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, we've been getting information. You guys have done a good job obtaining information. Other people have as well. My gut instinct tells me that this is going to get out there. People are going to know what's going to be said one way or the other, back and forth. And so, yeah, I think so. With the Rebel Rags case that you're talking about, you know, there's some confidence on the defendants of Kobe Jones and Leo Lewis. There's some confidence there on their side that this doesn't see the light of day. Now, if it does, then I think so, because it's on the record. It would probably be somewhat obtainable for the people who have been reporting on this throughout to gather. And so I think so. I do. It all depends, really, like we've been saying in the past, it really just all depends on what he says and what questions are asked to him and how he handles that, because regardless of how well he's prepared, it's going to be an uncomfortable situation. Now, Leo Lewis is not made available by MSU, so I can't ask him these questions, but, I mean, it doesn't take a brainiac to to realize that this is not a very comfortable situation for Leo Lewis, probably.
I guess we'll move from that into football, though. I don't know about you, but you're in a totally different beat. This beat, like, there's a game Saturday, and I know there's a game at Cal, but, man, the whole NCAA thing is so big that it's hard to even think about football. Mississippi State played Charleston Southern. They did what they're supposed to do. Was there anything you could take from that game at all other than one team beat the hell out of an inferior opponent?
Well, you know, a lot of people, I think their first instinct was, wow, you know, this defense is so great. And it did play well, but the fact is that their defensive line was about 70 pounds heavier each than the offensive linemen that they were facing. And they were more talented because that was a decent but not great FCS team. So, like, no doubt they're going to win that game if they play consistent and they play with some heart and some fire. But the last part of that I thought was pretty telling, because I will give them the credit that, okay, this was Charleston Southern. It would have been easy to kind of put the foot off the pedal during the second half, but they never did. They wanted the shutout. They got it. The team never crossed the 50. And what I saw was a team that was prepared, a team that worked hard, and a team that really cared about finishing the game and playing with a lot of intensity throughout. And for MSU, particularly the defense, those things are vital in comparison to last year. And so, like, I wasn't really judging it too much on, okay, what were they able to accomplish? Because, like I said, when you're bigger, stronger, and more talented, you're probably going to win, and you're probably going to perform much better than the other team. So what I was looking for more so was how they finished the game and what their intensity level. And so that was pretty encouraging, I think, for MSU.
Going forward to Louisiana Tech, I mean, this is a weird game on a schedule because most teams don't want to go to Ruston. As you know, I grew up there. I know it's changed a little bit, but when I was there, and if an SEC team had come to Ruston, it was going to be a really big deal. I suspect it will be a pretty big deal there. There will be a big crowd. Not a crowd that Mississippi State's never seen before, but it's a nice stadium. It'll be a big game for them. It's a little bit of a trap spot for Mississippi State, I would think, because the LSU game looms. That's obviously a huge SEC West game. Is there any concern there that even this early in the season, it's a game they overlook?
Not so much they overlook, but I think it's what will be the fascinating thing to see is how they respond to going to sort of the opposite end of the spectrum, as Dan Mullen put it the other day. And that's, okay, they played this Charleston Southern option offense where they're running the ball even though they're down 45 points or whatever it was. And that's just their offense. La Tech is totally different, of course, as you know. They're going to spread it out more. Their quarterback, he's a dual-threat guy, but he's going to air it out. They're going to have four receivers on the field, that sort of thing. And so this would be a good test, this will be a good test for the secondary, of course. But in my opinion, it's more of a test for their pass rush, because that's really what Todd Grant and their new DC has talked up since the spring, was that this is going to be a more aggressive team, a big pass rush type thing. So we're going to see if it actually holds to be true come the game against La Tech. So, yeah, you know, it comes right before LSU. It's a game, obviously, that MSU cannot afford to lose if it has any aspirations of exceeding the expectations that were generally around 6-6, 7-5. Lose this game, I definitely don't see 7-5, more or less, much less 6-6. So, yeah, this is definitely something that I think that they won't take lightly, because they're fully aware of that they can't afford to.
You've seen this team some now, and it's just one game. I know you want to see two or three more. Do you think this is a team that can exceed expectations? Is this a team that could win 8 or 9 games?
It's a very tough schedule, Neil. You know, I think that part of it people don't take into account as much as they should. You know, ESPN ranked MSU's strength as schedule in the top 15. I think they were 13-14. There are easier non-conference games than Louisiana Tech. I mean, this is a team that's probably going to win their conference USA, and they got a pretty good offense historically speaking. So you know, it's tough because after this game, they have LSU, the Auburn game, the Georgia game. They got to win one of those three games if you're looking at 7-5 even. And if you drop all three, you're probably looking at best 6-6. And it's no sure thing to win one of those three games. Those are three of your top four teams in the SEC. So, and then it gets, you know, there's some let up after that. But, you know, you still got Arkansas down the road. You have Alabama. The Ole Miss game, really. I mean, Egg Bowl, you guys know, that's, I mean, MSU is probably the better team on paper. But, I mean, rivalry game after all this, that's gone on. I mean, I don't, that's not a sure win, of course.
Be so careful, Will. You are tough. Will, be careful. You are going to trigger MSU media. I did this on Sunday by simply writing that at least the COI will come and go, and that no matter the outcome, it's good news, a modicum of good news for Ole Miss that this thing's going to come to an end. And I was attacked. So if you, be careful. That is an active Twitter group. I'm sure you've encountered a little of that at times.
Yeah, you know, I was a little bit surprised at that one because usually, like, my experience with the MSU fan base is pretty good. You know, I have very good, I feel like, relationship with their fan base. They are what they are, and they know what they are. They're very passionate about it. They're going to hold you accountable. I like that. So I was a little bit surprised. I think that person may have saw that line and misinterpreted it a little bit.
Yeah.
From what you said, because your meaning was that they're just it's good in the sense that, hey, we're finally getting to the finish line from Ole Miss's perspective, regardless of what happens. And, you know, I think that they kind of, you know, I think when you're Neil McCready, though, they're looking for something. You know what I mean?
So yeah, it's a funny.
That's going to happen.
It's a funny deal. They would be happier with me if I said I loved or hated something. The dispassionate attitude is not one that they appear to embrace whatsoever.
Nah, man, on your Sunday column, just outline all the things that you love and hate about Ole Miss. That'd be good. that would get some good views.
That would get views.
I'll retweet it for you too, man.
That would get views. Well, listen, again, enjoy Rustin.
Hey, one more thing. We ask pretty much every new guest the first time they come on. We haven't done it in a while because we've kind of talked to the same people over and over again. Just curious, and you're from New York, so I want to know the answer here. You can only have one condiment the rest of your life.
Yeah.
What do you pick?
One condiment.
Yes. The rest of your life.
One.
That's it. One.
And I can take an answer if you only get one type of this thing or if you get the entire family of this one condiment. I'll take either one.
So you can have, if you say mustard, for example, you can have Dijon, stone ground,
barbecue
French.
Sauce. You could have tomato based, vinegar, whatever.
I'm going to go with ranch.
Really?
I'm going to go with ranch dressing.
Just ranch dressing.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'd never get sick of it. I could use it on everything, and I'd never get sick of it.
You and my daughters would fit right in.
And that would also probably allow you to use, like, the ranch powder, like the ranch dressing seasoning powder stuff, maybe?
Probably so. I guess that would be a loophole. Won't even need it, though.
Okay.
Ranch makes everything better. I would use it on everything, and I would live just fine.
At least you didn't say mayonnaise.
Is ranch big in New York?
Not really. Not really. You know, in New York, you think of, you know, the really really unhealthy hot dogs from, like, the sewer water and, you know, bagels and so, like, butter, we're talking, mustard, ketchup, you know, the regular stuff, you know, your usual suspects there. Nothing too fancy, of course.
I bet you miss some of, like, the delis in New York where you can just walk in and the selection's incredible.
Oh, man, yeah, there's, you know, don't get me wrong, you know, Starkville's a great place. But, yeah, we could use some New York-style delis. I think I'm going to ask for one when I talk to the mayor next time, see if we can get some of that going. Because, yeah, that's really – yeah, now you're going to get me hungry. It's a little bit early in the morning. I didn't feel like eating quite yet. So, yeah, I'm going to stop talking about food if you guys don't mind.
I wasn't going to ask this, but now I'm curious. Have you read Flim Flam?
Not yet. I am reading it. I am reading it. You know, Steve's a good friend of mine, actually. And so, like, I kind of knew what was in it. So, like, none of it's really that big of a surprise because we have talked about it frequently, about what's in it, what's not in it, that sort of thing, who he's interviewed. So, like, I kind of am not surprised as I'm turning the pages so much as I was just genuinely curious about how it was sort of outlined and put together, more so than just the content in it. Have you guys read it at all?
I have not. I have not read it.
What is going to be the feelings or the interpretation from the average Ole Miss fan?
I think that I honestly think that people will consider it a very fair outlook and surprising in that sense, because when you think of Steve Robertson, and he knows this, so I'm not saying anything he doesn't know, you think, oh, he's gonna bury the Clarion Ledger, and he's going to rip apart Ole Miss, people who cover Ole Miss, and he's gonna take some shots and this and that. But I think it's more balanced than people will think, and I think people are going to be surprised by that. That it's not this sort of like hit piece on people. You know what I mean? Like it's not that. I think maybe it was built up to be, and that may be a credit to his own marketing to kind of get people hooked and wanting to read it. But I mean, the dude has sold more than 4,000 copies, so he obviously knew what he was doing, and I think people are going to be surprised by the reporting in it, and really that it's more balanced than people would think.
If you have any idea here, I'm just curious, why publish before the end happens?
I don't know. I think that he, and I hate to speak for the guy, but I think that he didn't have a clear idea when exactly he would publish the thing. And because I think he inserted some things about Hugh Freeze. When that happened, I think his goal may have been to publish it before that actually occurred, Freeze's resignation. So I think for his point, though, that, or not his point, but just what may help him, is that there is a lot of interest in it right now, and the interest may wane once everything is over with. You know what I mean? Like that once the meeting is concluded, and obviously we won't know the results of it for another few weeks, as far as I know. But I think that there's a lot of, there's still a heavy interest in it. I think there's going to be a lot of interest in it starting next week on Monday. And yeah, I mean, it's not the worst of things to publish before it all comes out, before we all know what's going to happen, instead of doing a sort of a wrap up. But yeah, I don't know exactly what, if that was in his plans or what his plan was, but seems to be working out. So more power to the guy.
Yeah. I'll give him credit for selling 4,000 books. That's more than I would have thought, honestly. I just wondered how many. My gut feeling was that not many Ole Miss people would buy it. I didn't know how many Mississippi State people would be that interested in it that they would buy a book. And then I didn't think there would be any interest at all in the other 49 states.
Yeah, it's a weird deal, you know. A quick story, I was at fan day for MSU, right? And I'm with Steve for a good portion of it, just because it just so happens that him and I are probably the first two media members to arrive to it. And I'm there, just to kind of talk to assistant coaches and whatnot. You know, I'm not there too long, but long story somewhat short, actually, is that I think he had a longer line of MSU fans come up to him than Dan Mullen did. like about the book and about this and that and how much they're interested in it and how many copies they bought and when they can get it signed and when it's coming out exactly, when they can get their hands on it, what's it about. I'm joking. Dan Mullen had a longer line than Steve, but if Steve put up a sign and sat there and put his book out there, he would have a line. And it was remarkable because, like you, I mean, like you put out a book, there are people who have been covering it from the national quarters now, and that and because of the Hugh Freeze resignation, especially. So you don't know exactly what the interest is. So I'm surprised as well that it's been maintained. I mean, also because I ask them all the time, how the book sales are going. You know, like how many have you sold? Well, what's going on with it? And he ain't lying. If you look on the I think even like the Clarion Ledger does like a top 10 bestsellers or whatever. I think he's going to be on it come Monday. So, hey, like I said before, more power to the guy.
Yeah, it's. I'll be glad when the whole thing's over. It's 6 years. I'm sort of sick of it. All right. Well, listen. Enjoy Rustin. Go get some peaches. I don't know if the peaches probably aren't in. I don't know if you can even get them anymore.
It's a little late.
It's a little late for peaches. I hate peaches. After I spent two summers picking them, and I'll never touch one. You like peaches?
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, you keep talking up this town. I'm thinking about making a whole weekend of it.
You
know,
should.
I was just going to go on Saturday.
No.
Then leave Saturday night right after the game.
No.
I'll probably be mistaken if I don't spend my whole Sunday there.
It's Wednesday. You should go now. It's awesome. All right. Have fun.
You know what? I may do that. I'll go on Friday. How about that?
There you go. I'll look forward to hearing your review of Rustin. If you see the statue of me, it's okay to take a selfie with it. It's okay. Lots of tourists are going to do it, so go for it. All right. See you, Will. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks to Will for joining us this morning. Podcast also brought to you by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis, so you get local underwriting and understands your market. That's a huge deal. Also, leader in condo financing in Oxford. So ask Jason about the float-down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. And when rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. You can find him at 662-234-2704 or JLO, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. Grenada Nissan, located just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today, and tell Gene and Sandy you heard about it here on the podcast or at rebelgrove.com. You'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB is offering one-year CDs at 1.75% annual percentage yield and three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% annual percentage yield. With the three-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's three-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. Oxford University Bank is FDIC insured. Podcast also brought to you by Michael Oswalt. If you are looking to buy or sell land anywhere in Mississippi, give Michael a call. He's a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. He works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. It's by far the largest broker of land in Mississippi. Look him up on his site, gotland.com. That's got-land.com. You can read his recent testimonials, check out his track record, see the properties he has listed. But know this, the land market's really hot right now. If you're on the fence about selling your land, your hunting club share, or your home with acreage, now's the time. Give Michael a call today, 662-719-3967. He's ready to meet with you, explain the process. You can also check out his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com. Ole Miss and UT Martin, 11 a.m. on Saturday. You can purchase tickets. Games on the SEC Network, I believe. You can purchase tickets, 888-REB-TKTS. That's R-E-B-T-K-T-S. Or visit olemisstix.com. Ole Miss volleyball in town this week. Starting Thursday at 11 a.m. game, again at 7, and then on Friday at 6, Ole Miss soccer also in town Friday night. The Rebels playing host to Tulsa. They travel to Memphis on Sunday.
A member of the NCAA transfer working group is Ole Miss Athletics Director Ross Bjork. We'll try to get him at some point to talk about it again. As it makes more headway. I mean, at this point, I don't know necessarily where that is, but as we noted, has – certain issues, also the matter of, again, they've got to have certain GPAs, they got to have so many hours toward degrees and different things. So we'll see where it goes. It's still a long ways from passing, in my opinion. It hadn't got to that point yet. And I don't know that I necessarily like it being for every sport. I feel like, so, you know, sports are so different than having just kind of this one uniform policy could potentially raise issues as well. But again, we're a long way from it. We'll talk about it more at the appropriate time. Put it on the message board this morning. Pro Football Focus does college football stuff. Two Ole Miss players make their national team of the week, where they grade each player in the country after every week. AJ Brown makes it. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Let me guess. It's going to be two of the more highly recruited players on the team.
Mr. AJ Brown makes it at wide receiver.
Yeah.
After his 233 yards on 8 catches, 9 targets. Mm-hmm. And then the left tackle on this team is Gregory Little.
Shocking.
Greg graded out at 88.9 for the week. Neil believes there's a correlation between highly recruited players and performance on Saturdays.
I do. I don't know what I'm basing.
There's not an Alabama player on the offense of the week.
I'll give them time.
Just saying.
What about defense?
I don't have that up.
Okay.
The Missouri running back is on the list because Missouri State was even worse than Missouri at defense. An Auburn player is on here. Oklahoma's got a couple players on here. SC has a player on here. Southern Miss has a player. Corey Robertson, a wide receiver. The quarterback is the quarterback at Northwestern, if I have that logo correct. So,
Carson cheers for Northwestern.
Cubs whole thing there.
Well, it's where he says he wants to go to school.
He wants to go to Northwestern.
Wants to go to Northwestern. So we follow Northwestern on Twitter and stuff.
This only came to my attention because David Johnson at 24/7 wrote about it, and other people were commenting on that tweet is how I came across this. So giving full appreciation of the origin of this. But then I pulled it up on NBC Bay Area, I'm assuming, which is a real site, not an onion site for the Bay Area. With Cal, you never really know what's going on in Berkeley. I'll read you the first two paragraphs, Neil. Have you seen this?
I have not.
A Berkeley city councilman is pushing the city to adopt a new ordinance that would no longer criminalize women for going topless. Quote, "It is nonsensical and sexist that Berkeley criminalizes the display of the female nipple while allowing the display of the male nipple," City Council Member Chris Worthington's recommendation to the City Council reads.
That it?
Well, there's a lot more. A portion of the East Bay City Municipal's code indicates that women can be punished for showing any portion of the breast or below the areola at any point when they are in the public eye, according to the city. Breastfeeding is exempt from the city laws. With that said, Worthington finds that if nursing mothers can expose their breast, every woman should have the same right as well. If a woman's nipples are fit to be seen by the innocent and impressionable portion of the population, babies and toddlers, and it stands to reason that nipples are not inherently sexual and are fit to be seen by the rest of the population.
You're going
to
break out that Sildenafil ad once again, just any minute now.
Worthington believes his proposed ordinance could also prevent any policing confusion in the event that a transgender man who has not undergone chest reconstruction were to go topless. Yeah. By simplifying Berkeley's law to not outlaw anyone's nipples, future complications can be avoided before they even arise and grow into complex legal issues, the recommendation read. Your floor, Mr. Counselor. If you're the judge on this one.
I mean, look, I don't have a problem with it. Women want to walk around shirtless. I'm not going to be the one arresting them.
As David wrote this morning, with Cal's student section just decides to go completely topless next Saturday.
It's free country.
Free country.
It's their prerogative.
I wish the world only had these problems.
The truth. Let everybody just go totally naked if you want. Whatever.
We got North Korea launching hydrogen bombs and things. And
I mean.
Berkeley women, though, have been.
You've seen one breast, you've seen them all.
That's a good point. Okay.
I mean. I probably would enjoy the scenery at UCLA more than I would Berkeley.
Think so?
Just guessing.
The farther south you get in the state.
That's my guess.
San Diego rather than Oakland.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Nothing against the ladies at Berkeley. I'm just guessing that aesthetically it would be more pleasing at San Diego State, Arizona State.
It is SEC Network at 11 a.m., by the way.
Okay. No thoughts on my aesthetics?
Nope. 22 years ago this day, Cal Ripken beat the record 21-31. Oh, yeah.
22 years ago.
Yep.
That was cool. Did you watch that night?
I did. Yeah.
It was cool.
They put it up on the little thing out there, the building or whatever.
Out on the warehouse.
Yeah, I can remember that. Because that was still when Camden was really new.
Yeah. Yeah, it was 3 years old. Because this was the 25th anniversary this year, because I was just there a month ago.
Ezekiel Elliott can play this week, but looks like he's going to be suspended 6 games, barring any change following this week. You want a conspiracy?
Sure.
They allowed him to play this week because they get a big-time NBC primetime game before he gets suspended in 6 games. NBC wins.
So they're letting him play 1 week, and then he has the 6-game suspension. Mm-hmm. Well, now, why the hell is that?
There's reasons, but I don't care enough to read them, so I'm sorry.
If I'm a Giants fan, I'm irritated.
You're a little pissed. ESPN says, good Lord, you need a law degree just to set your NFL fantasy lineups. The latest NFL arbitrator, Harold Henderson, has upheld the 6-game suspension of Dallas Cowboys tailback Ezekiel Elliott, saying he agreed the league had followed its policies appropriately in handing out the discipline. But that's not the end of the story, not by a long shot. In fact, the NFL is allowing Elliott to play Sunday night against the New York Giants while he awaits the results of a related court case. It's at times like these when I like to say, do what now? Let's try to make sense of the madness. Let's see. I'm trying to. Yeah, he had a court case yesterday. Yeah, I don't know. He's doing some appealing and different things, but it looks like he's going to get to play Sunday and then have to sit 6 games.
That just makes no sense.
So he's thinking about suing the league while he in an attempt to reverse the suspension, but be eligible to play in week 9 against the Kansas City Chiefs.
ESPN, I mean, it's NBC. They're like, hey, we need him in this 1 week. They'll build that entire broadcast will be built around Ezekiel Elliott.
Well, there's a question here that says, why would they do that? Just to make sure Elliott got to play in a nationally televised week 1 game, ? No, but in a world of conspiracy theories, that's not the worst one ever heard. Although there is no rule requiring them to do it, the NFL prefers to avoid eligibility questions for a Sunday game extending past Tuesday. The league considered it an issue of competitive advantage so that both teams know in a reasonable time frame who will be and will not be eligible to play. Also, an NFL source told ESPN NFL insider Dan Graziano that the league made the decision in deference to the process and to avoid rushing the judge. In an overnight statement, the NFL spokesman acknowledged that Mazant wanted to have the, quote, appropriate time to make a decision. So, okay, they did it for the Giants' benefit so the Giants would know who was going to be on the field on Sunday night.
Oh, good grief.
Because it would be a competitive advantage for the Cowboys if the Giants did not have ample time to prepare for whatever running backs they would see on Sunday.
That is...
Somewhere Ben McAdoo is really scratching his head.
It's not even believable.
It's the reason given. So,
I mean, you buy that?
Hell no.
Hell no.
Good way to bookend our show there with really believable things on both sides of the spectrum from the NCAA to the NFL. Thanks to Will Salmon for joining us today on the show.
I've made some luggage purchases using our Amazon account.
Have you?
So if you would like to purchase luggage for your upcoming trips, do us a favor. We'd appreciate it.
It's on every page. You get Prime. You get everything exactly the same. On every podcast page, also linked on the message board at rebelgrove.com. So appreciate you. More guests as the week moves on. Another podcast tomorrow at Rebel Grove. We got coverage from last night. We got some video. Again, Bradley Del Pivido talking linebackers as well.
Beer Garden coming. You'll get it tomorrow. I'm taping it here in just a little while.
Recruiting podcast tomorrow as well.
So lots of, if you like podcasts, you stuff, like us.
Stuff going on. We'll talk to you tomorrow.